Van Hebert is one of God's adopted children. We're part of the same family. And so therefore, when one member suffers, we rally together as if it was our own, because we feel what others are going through around us. So thank you for sharing that. At this time, I'd just like to say that this time of year, between October and November, is the time when those of us that are ordained with the Fellowship of Christian Assemblies renew our licensing and our ordination with the FCA. And this year, we felt that since it was right at this time, we'd like to also add an additional member of our congregation as a licensed minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm referring, of course, to the one that just so happened. We hadn't planned this previously, but that Daniel Fuster is going to be speaking this Sunday. And so we'd like to take a few minutes to have a bit of a recognition. We're not creating a ministry here. We're not, by licensing somebody, we're not making them something that they not already are. But we're recognizing a divine gifting, a divine calling, and we are recognizing something that is already there. And licensing just serves the purpose of helping one get through more open doors, whether it's into hospitals or other public venues, whether it's to the ability to perform marriages or things like that. It'll open up other avenues for ministry. So with that, we'd like to recognize the gifting that Daniel carries. And as a congregation, we want to recognize him as a licensed minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I'm going to ask Daniel to come, and in a few minutes I'm going to ask a few others to come up as well. But as you come, Daniel, there's a passage from the Bible in 2 Timothy 4:1-8 from the Message Bible. I'd just like to read before you as a charge in order to fulfill the ministry that you have already received from the Heavenly Father. And this is what Paul said to Timothy. And in many ways, I kind of, you know, I think Paul put great hope that Timothy, his ministry was, and I feel you are continuing and going even further on the ministry journey that I have longed to fulfill in my lifetime. And so that's why I want to say personally, I believe in what you carry. And I think these words that Paul spoke to Timothy also speak of, from my heart, from the Message Bible. He says, I can't impress this on you too strongly, that God is looking over your shoulder. Christ himself is the King of Kings, with a final say on everyone, living and dead. He is about to break into the open with his rule. So proclaim the message with intensity. Keep on your watch, challenge, warn, and urge your people. Don't ever quit. Just keep it simple. You're going to find that where there will be times when people will have no stomach for solid teaching, but they will fill up on spiritual junk food, catchy opinions that tickle their fancy. They'll turn their backs on truth and chase a barrage. But you keep your eye on what you are doing. Accept the hard times along with the good. Keep the message alive. Do a thorough job as God's servant. You take over. I'm about to die, my life as an offering on God's altar. This is the only race worth running. I've run hard right to the finish, believed all the way. All that's left now is the shouting, God's applause. Depend on it. He is an honest ruler. He'll do it right, not only by me, but by everyone who is eager for his appearing. Daniel first came to Maranatha when he was about 2 years old, in the year 1989. And it came at a time when we needed some sort of a sign from God that we were going in the direction that he wanted to. And it was just at that time God was breaking out among the youth. David and Ruth were part of that movement among the youth in 1989. And Daniel was only 2 years old then, but his family came to us from Ontario. And his father carried a powerful prophetic gift. And even though he did not live to see the fulfillment of everything he prophesied, I'm seeing those things come to pass. And I'd like to ask the family of Daniel, some of them are here this morning. If you just come and stand with us this morning as we fulfill this commissioning service, like any of the family, there's, of course, his mother, Debbie here, his Aunt Shirley, his sister Colleen, and Grant, and, of course, Nigel. And I'd like you to know that this family has been through a lot. They have been to hell and back. And they've seen Maranatha at its worst, and they've seen it at its best. But they're still with us here this morning. So this is a very meaningful moment. I'd just like to honor the family members that have stayed faithful. And we can see at this particular time in history, I look at Colleen and her business, and Grant, and how God has blessed your business. I look at the anointing. Nigel is also reaching people. If you've been following her posts on Facebook, she has a story that's really connecting with people. And so I'd like to honor Debbie here as the spiritual matriarch of this family, that you have produced these offspring. And they're rising up to make a difference in the kingdom of God. And so here they are. This goes back to 1987, when Daniel was just 2 years old, and we're still together. And I'm just so grateful that we can honor Daniel, particularly this morning, and commission him to the ministry that he has received from the Lord. If there's anyone in the family, I was talking to Colleen and Shirley, and I said, if you'd like to say something, just remember, you'd be taking from Daniel's time. Well, but he said, well, yeah, he's used to our taking his time, so we can hear. But if you do have something, we want to hear. If there's something percolating, Colleen?
Daniel, as your earthly family, and Nigel, it's all great. As your earthly family, we are so proud of you. And as the rest of your spiritual family is looking on, you can see the pride in their eyes too. We are astounded at how God has had so much grace for us as we've weathered the storms. And wow, what the devil thought he stole from us. He is in so much trouble. Yeah. It is just going to be the mantle that Dad had on his life has fallen onto you, and it will be exponentially powerful. The impact for the kingdom of God is going to be incredible. And I, as your sister, I just commit to be there for you in prayer. And as your earthly supporter, the devil doesn't know what's coming. We're going to take more land for the kingdom of heaven than he intended to, that what he took from us, what he thought he took from us. He just poured fuel on the fire. And we are living by the kingdom principles, and what he's tried to knock us around here on earth, but it's not working. We see right through it to the kingdom. And I'm just so proud of you, and I just pray a blessing on your life. And this isn't just, it's not just you, it's your beautiful wife, Nigel. When someone has an anointing on them, their spouse is right behind them and also has an anointing. Oh, man. So I'll leave it at that. I'll pass it on to my mom.
I just want to thank the church body for supporting us through all the storms, the good times, the bad. You are an integral part of where we are today. And I've mentioned it several times to my kids. If so-and-so hadn't been there, and just at integral times, you guys showed up and supported us. And so it's a group effort. It's not just one person rowing their boat, it's a congregation. And I'm just thankful. I'm very thankful for my family and for the hope that God has given us through his word. It's incredible. It's incredible to trust. And just no matter what's happening, and I don't want to exemplify the negative things that can happen, but it seems through the storms you grow the most. It really is. And you know where you stand. You take a stand because you have to make a choice. So God bless you, Daniel.
Amen. Amen.
I'll just take a minute of your time. As the genealogist in the family, Daniel, I want to say this to you, that I pray that the anointing that has followed this family and the prayers that have been prayed by great-grandparents and even further back than that, that it will continue to be worked out in your life, in Colleen's life, in the generation that is the new generation and the generation that follows. And I pray that that anointing will rest heavily on you, that the calling that's been placed on our families, both sides, will have fruition in your life, and that God will use you, He will protect you, and He will anoint you to go places that we never dreamt possible. We thank God for what He has done. We thank Him for what He has done, and I pray His rich, rich blessing on your family and the generation to follow in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Shirley. I can remember a time when his family was going right at the depth of a crisis, and we went over to Debbie's house, and I think Daniel was there, and all we had was a cry. We had no answers, but only to cry out to heaven. And I heard Debbie release that cry that she's already birthed these children in the natural, but she was birthing spiritual children, I believe, you know, that would rise up. And that's what we need a greater release of, I believe, in our congregation. We don't have all the answers. But there's a cry within us, God. You know, we don't see it fully, but we're willing to believe for what God has promised, that all of our children will be taught by the Lord, and great will be their shalom. So, Daniel, I'd like to present this certificate to you this morning. I got one from the church and one from the Fellowship of Christian Assemblies. It says, this is to certify that Daniel Fuster, having proven a divine gift and calling, and having evidenced preparation in the preaching and teaching of the scriptures, was publicly commissioned and endorsed as equipped to perform the functions and offices usually pertaining to a licensed minister of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ by the authority of Maranatha Niverville Incorporated in cooperation with the Fellowship of Christian Assemblies on this 11th day of November 2018 at Maranatha Niverville, Manitoba. I'd like to present that. Thank you. This time I'd just like to call up David Brown, and if there's others who would just like to join us here. David had a big part actually in mentoring Daniel through critical times, and so I'd like to honor the part he has played in being a sounding board for Daniel and Nigel and that generation. So anyone else would like to just join us? I'm going to ask David to pray. Debbie, if you'd also be willing to pray. And anyone else wants to join us here, just stand with us, please, as we seal this in the name of Jesus with a prayer. David?
Wow. Before I pray, I just want to say this is just such an honor. You know, I speak as someone who's been ministered to by Daniel's anointing, and as someone who has been challenged by his choices as he's chosen to follow Jesus. And so, Father God, I thank you so much that you said in Revelation 21 that, behold, I am making all things new, and that your kingdom is expanding throughout this earth. Every single step, Lord, you call men and women to rise up and to share and to release the good news of the gospel to every corner of this earth. And I thank you, Father, that you called Daniel. Even before the ends of time, you saw Daniel Fuster. You rejoiced over him. You sparkled, your eyes sparkled, Lord, with joy for him, because you have a plan for him. And Lord, yeah, when he was 2 years old, he came into this church. But I thank you, Father, that your call in his life goes so much farther. And we, as a congregation, as family members, we bless him in Jesus' name to the fullness of the reach and influence that you have on his life. Lord, we thank you for Nigel and the way that you've crafted something special inside of her. And we bless their union, their marriage in Jesus' name. We pray protection over them, God, as they march out into deep and dark places, light would flash forward, Lord. And that, Lord, the miraculous would be demonstrated. Signs and wonders would confirm the revelation that you give to Daniel and Nigel and that comes forth from deep within his heart. Lord, we affirm the humility, the honor that you have placed on the inside of him in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for the anointing that bubbles up on the inside of him that we have all been able to partake of in the lobby, up front here, on the street. We say thank you, Jesus, for the way that you have given Daniel a voice to declare the good news of the kingdom, which will break chains in years to come in Jesus' name. And as a body and as a family, we declare that we stand behind him in the spirit, in the natural, in any way we can in Jesus' name to honor the grace that you've placed on the inside of him for the release of your kingdom in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, that it will not stop or stumble. And we pray, Lord, in the days when Daniel's tired, Lord, when he feels weak and weary, that he would find people around him that would stand with him and raise up his weak arms, God, in Jesus' name, that he would find a place of rest within your heart and that out of that rest, Lord God, rivers of living water would flow in him and through him in Jesus' name. We thank you that his children will be taught of the Lord, and we bless every one of his children. They will be blessed because he is in ministry in Jesus' name, God. In Jesus' name, we thank you for financial provision, God, that every need has been and will be met in the days to come, Lord God, and that at the end, Lord, of his days, when he breathes his last breath, that he would know that he's accomplished every single plan that you've placed in his life, Lord Jesus. Lord, all for your glory, that your kingdom would come and that your will would be done in Jesus' name. We bless and affirm the grace of God in you, Daniel, and we commission you and we release you in Jesus' name as one sent out from the Father's heart in Jesus' name. And we say we are proud to do it. We see his life and his love in you. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. And we know today Daniel's, he's receiving recognition through this plaque that's been given him and under an umbrella organization that's going to help him go into other areas, Father, easier. But I know Daniel would agree with me right now that he's a minister, but I know he would say, we're all ministers. And I put this challenge to everyone that no matter what anointing is in you, it's all our responsibility in the kingdom. Yeah. And yeah, it's not a one-man show. We've been there. We've done that. And Daniel knows about that, too, and he's the last person to want to exalt himself here. And so we go forward with him. We go forward with him, each of us, in the way that God has ordained each of us as his body, as parts of his body. And we're a family. We're going to realize more what a family is, I believe, in the coming months. And I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, you are working in all of us, your work, for your good pleasure.
Amen. 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 If anyone has something prophetically or anything, just I want you to lift your hand up if you would like to add something. But I'd just like to seal this also by saying that you know, we could have just done this privately. We could have just issued this. But there's something about a public acknowledgement in the open, in the sight of God and also in the sight of men and women, that creates a greater degree of agreement, that we are in agreement with heaven because we're recognized this gift has come from heaven. It was freely given, and it's freely given to share, to give away. Daniel does not put a price tag on his ministry. He never asked for a nickel or a dime. But he's trusting God to meet his need, and we all have a part in the kingdom to do our part to see God show up to this generation in ways that the culture at large will know that he is alive and he's doing many mighty works in changing lives and giving hope to the hopeless and help to those that are without help. So, Father, we just seal this today and thank you for this moment, this holy moment, and pray you will continue as Daniel shares the word today, that he'll have liberty to just release whatever you've deposited in there. Let it be for the edification of the body of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thanks, Roger. Thanks, Brian.
This is a wonderful brother that I have here. And I think I just wanted to be the first to say congratulations, Pastor Daniel Fuster.
Thanks.
I love you too, man.
Whew. Oh, boy. Pressure's on. Oh, thank you. I wasn't expecting that to be. To be as emotional as it became. I think my mom just nailed it when she said, obviously, this is, you know, the government recognizes something now. So it's official in that sense, but there's also something spiritual going on as far as what my dad carried. And I better stop talking about this. Oh, boy. I'm just honored. Thanks. Don't really know if there's anything else to say. I'll try. So, I'm just going to get into my message, because you guys stole all my time. Just kidding. Yeah. Well, Jesus, thank you for today. Thank you for your knowledge and your wisdom and your goodness, God, and the freedom that you offer us, Lord, and the insight and the revelation that you freely give us, God, so that we can walk in greater measures of freedom, so that we can represent you here on the planet, Father, and get your work done, Lord, to expand your kingdom here. And so, Jesus, just as I'm speaking today, Lord, I ask that you would let these words just be seasoned with your Spirit, and that these would go deep and serve to expand your kingdom in each one of our hearts today. Amen. So I prepared for this. I figured there would be a little less time. And so I've never done this. You know I've never done this. But I basically prepared my message in a way that I could get it across in one sentence. Pretty good. But I do have to give some background. Some context for what I'm going to say, because I'm going to say it at the end. And it's going to encompass everything I said. But it's going to be one sentence, but I gotta lay some groundwork first. So, what if I told you I was going to give you something? I was going to give you a thing, okay? Was this thing you could do, you could use it to do whatever you wanted to do. You could use it for anything, and it would do anything. Do you want to go to space? You can go to space. Do you want to fly around a volcano? You can make this thing. Do you want to make $1 million? It can give you riches. It can give you wealth. It can give you prosperity. It can give you fame. You can use it to do whatever you want. This thing's amazing, okay? You catching? I'm gonna give it to you. Exciting, right? Oh my goodness, your mind's already going like, woo, what would I do with this thing? This thing has the ability to solve problems. It has the ability to pay bills, like, on time. Plus, you can, like, just set your life out. You can make it all work with this thing. This thing will straighten things out for you. It'll fix your marriage. It has the ability to do that. It has the ability to make your relationships good. It has the ability to completely set life up for you in an amazing way. And not only would you benefit, but you can use this thing to help other people. You can use this thing to make the world a completely better place. You can actually use this thing to touch other people's lives, to touch their hearts, to benefit them. It's not just for you. You can use it however you want. It's amazing. Does it sound great? And you're just going to get it. I'm just going to give it to you. Okay? But this thing also, if you don't use it properly, it would steal everything from you. It would steal your house. It would steal your car. It would wreck all your friendships. It would destroy the lives of people around you. It would destroy the lives of everybody you know. This thing that I'm going to give you as a gift for free. It can make you the most horrible, most depressed, most angry person ever. It has the potential to do that. As much as it has a potential for greatness, it has a potential for just as much destruction. Right? It has the potential to kill you. And if you're not careful with it, other people can actually come along and take it and use it to control you. Would you still want that thing? You're probably leaning towards yes, but you'd be like, okay, show me how to use that, right? That'd be the first question. Who doesn't want to like do whatever they want and make whatever they want and go wherever they want and give whatever they want and create whatever they want? Who doesn't want to do that? Yeah, you could blow up the world too. You could wreck it all. But the potential for greatness is so great, you're not going to pass that up. Probably. I'm just assuming. I'm answering the question for you because I'm leading you somewhere. Right? But you would ask. You would. You'd be like, okay, how does this thing work? And I'm like, there's a way to use it. You got to use it properly. Remember, somebody could steal it and actually use it to control you. You got to make sure you watch out for that too. This thing can give you riches and wealth. It can give you poverty and destruction. Would you want that thing? Yes. But you'd want to know how the heck to use it, right? That's the first thing you'd ask. How do I use this properly? Because that's so much greatness, but so much responsibility. And what if I told you that God has already given you that gift? What if I told you that that gift, quite literally, is your own mind? Right? You know that everything you see in this building, everything started in somebody's mind? The clothes you're wearing, the ring you have on your finger, the thing you brushed your teeth with this morning, the thing you drove here in, all the things you passed on the highway, all of that stuff started in somebody's mind. Every nuclear bomb that's exploded, every gun that's fired, every marriage that's been wrecked, every family that's been destroyed, every child that's been pulled out of poverty, every prostitute that's been pulled off the street, it started in someone's mind. That's insane. You catching me? Like, that's insane. And if you want to get even bigger picture, everything that is started in God's mind. So what precedes physical actions? What precedes a physical object? What precedes things? Thoughts. The mind. And quite literally, you can use your mind to go and fly through space right now. You can do that. And if you use it well enough, you'll make a machine that can do that. It'll become true. I don't even want to say that word. It'll become physical. It'll become material, right? It's crazy, the potential. Your mind has the ability to completely change the world and fix your relationships and bring you wealth, bring you ideas for businesses, bring you like entrepreneurial things, but it also has the ability to drag you down into the gutter and lick pond scum for the rest of your life. Isn't that wild? Like, really? That's actually God. It's like God took a nuclear reactor and put it in your head and it's like, be careful. You know? But we come into this world. Well, I'll stay on track here. Did you ever consider that your mind is actually a gift? We just talked about the potential this gift wields. That's probably one of the most precious things you'll ever have, right? Like, just think about all of the implications of what I just said, the possibilities that you have with your mind. I want to change your perspective this morning, because this isn't like revelatory things. It's just regular, but I want you to look at it different. You You can see and explore and develop and imagine whatever idea you want with your mind and make it as real as you wish in your own head. Then through a series of other steps, you can bring that thing into physical reality. You can go on any story, on any adventure you ever wanted to. You can plan a real one that you physically go on, and you can plan it all out in your head, and you can make that happen in real life. Everything you ever need or desire to bring with you on whatever adventure you want, you can get it all prepared with your mind. The mind can observe physical reality and figure it out and figure out the principles and figure out the science of it and then manipulate it to do whatever that mind wants it to do. That's insane. There's a mountain in, I think it's Israel. They didn't really understand. It was like, there's all these hills, but then there's one that's like chopped off. And what they found is that there was a king one day who's like, I'd like the top of that mountain. And so they just cut the top of the mountain off and put a bunch of like stuff up there. It was destroyed afterwards. But they just cut the top of a mountain off. Who's thinking like that? Right? You can't cut the top of a mountain off. He did. 2,500 years ago. Right? And that all came from your mind. So I want you to see, this thing can engage in relationships. This thing can like figure other people out and be used to bless people and to speak life into people. You can receive amazing things from other people. There's this mutual connection that your mind is used for to make this amazing like culture that you can live in, where you can create a culture of like happiness and joy and acceptance and forgiveness in your home. You can also create with your mind what you want. You can create a culture of fear, of intimidation, of guilt, of shame in your home. Right? Like, this thing is a gun. You can use it to shoot a bear to protect your family, and you can use it to go after the neighbors. Right? So we've been given, like, who would say that thing's pretty precious? Right? You see, I really want you guys to see the amazing gift you have of your mind. It's the potential it has is ridiculous. Like, you can do anything with it. Anything. Anything. The only limit's you, basically. God said, look at these people. When they come together and they're unified and they're all agreeing and they're all thinking and they're all going the same direction, nothing will be impossible for them. So when you take a whole bunch of minds and you put them all together on the same track, it's like, holy smokes. But who knows, you can also start a war and kill 9 million Jews, right? With unified mind. This thing is insane. Don't you wish you knew how to use it? Did anybody ever tell you that, listen, son, you have this mind, but if you don't use it properly, it's going to kill you. Right? I think our culture makes a big mistake in the idea that it tells us that your mind is you. Right? It tells you that your mind is you. You know, other people can come along and through like being sneaky and stuff, actually take control of your mind and make you think certain things and make you drink the Kool-Aid. Right, Jim Jones? That's when you let other people take control of this thing and manipulate it, and then there's the result is whatever they want. That's crazy. This thing's powerful. People died because of that. Or you can unify a bunch of people behind the idea of freedom. And you can create countries like Canada, the United States, and the West. These ideas of individual responsibility, right? There's amazing potential here. I'd like to suggest to you, and this is just a suggestion, but I believe that the Bible does show us that there is a certain way to use your mind. I think our culture it's taken us, and it's made us believe that we are this thing, not that we have this thing. It's actually made us a victim of it, of our own mind. And I want to show you through some scriptures that the Bible doesn't paint that picture at all. Not at all. I'm not saying you don't have a personality, but God-given stuff, but I'm saying that you're not your mind. You have a mind. And it's awfully sneaky because we're humans, we're awfully special. You have a mind and you can use your mind to change your mind. Like, it's weird. We're self-aware. We're self-conscious. We also have a spirit that's, like, completely connected. We have the mind of Christ and all these things. I'm specifically focusing on the mind today, okay? Don't, like, what about all this? I get it. But we're not talking about that today. I just want us to focus on the mind and how precious and amazing that thing is. And that it, first of all, is not you. From the Bible, we learn that we have self-control. Right? What are you controlling when you're self-controlling? You don't, like, grab your hand and make it, like, hold this mic, okay, you stay there. No, right? No. You're controlling your mind. It's self-control. That's one of the fruit of the Spirit, right? We are instructed to guard our hearts, Proverbs 4, verse 23. For from it come all the issues of life. I'm going to read that verse with a few different other translations in there. Proverbs 4:23, above all else, guard your heart. Heart and mind, kind of interchangeable in the Bible. For everything you do flows from it. Other translations say, for from the heart come the issues of life. Or, for everything you do flows from it. Or, for it determines the course of your life. So who would agree that your heart, your mind, your belief system, what you really think, right? And that includes your subconscious, which we can't get into all that stuff. But that's determining what you do. Who knew that chair didn't pop up? Somebody determined it. And it manipulated their actions so that they formed a chair. They thought of it, right? The chair didn't just happen. You know you're not just a happy person. You know maybe you're not just a depressed person. We're told to love God with our mind. We're told to be renewed by the Bible in the spirit of our minds. We're told that we can transform our minds by renewing our minds into Christ's image and not be conformed to the image of the world. You believe with your mind and your heart. So according to the Bible, the mind is something you have the ability to control. You have the ability to guard it. You have the ability to train it. You have the ability to renew it, to transform it, and believe with it. And that's not even all of them. And it's just interesting that we're told that if your mind is unhealthy, you need more things, right? You need more stuff. Just get a car. That'll fix it. You know, get that Barbie doll. Get that raise. Get that boat. Get that cottage. Whatever it is, right? Man, then I'll be happy. But it's funny because, like, whatever, material possessions, social status, relational stability, money, success, fame, etc. That stuff will make you feel good, right? Right? We think that. We've been told to think that. You were trained, your mind was trained to think that. That stuff will make me feel good. But it's funny because all of that stuff is actually the result of a healthy mind. A healthy mind makes riches. A healthy mind makes good relationships. A healthy mind can lead you to get that cottage you want. A healthy mind. We're doing it backwards. We're saying these things make my mind healthy. No, a healthy mind gets you those things. We've switched it down and we've gone backwards on our happiness. You know that it says that if you're in a survival situation, if you're feeling stressed, psychologists are saying that you actually lose like a slave, like if you're working every day, I just got to pay the bills. When you're in that place psychologically, you lose the ability to dream. You lose the ability, it's the orphan mindset Dave's talked a lot about. You lose the ability to see forward, to see ahead, to think big. You lose the ability because you're in survival mode. You're thinking about preservation. You're thinking about stuffing your cheeks like a squirrel. You're thinking about hiding and hoarding like this orphan, right? That's an unhealthy mind, right? But when your mind's healthy, you dream. When your mind's healthy, you start seeing it far in the distance of your future. You start thinking about, man, I would love to have a car one day. I'm tired of using this bike. So how am I going to get a car? Well, man, I bet I could figure that out. And then you start solving problems and dreaming bigger, right? Because your mind's healthy. The car's not going to make you okay. A healthy mind will get you there, but that's not what makes you okay. You see what I'm saying? It's different. So When the human mind is used properly, amazing accomplishments, health, happiness, righteousness, joy, all these things of using your mind correctly. Romans 12, verse 2, be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Renewal of your mind. It's your mind, it's not you. Right? Be transformed by the renewal of your mind, not you. Your mind. You have a mind, it's not you. It's your mind. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness. Seeking is something you do with your mind. Guard your heart from everything you do flows from it. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. That's Colossians. Hebrews. God's going to write his heart, his law on our hearts and on our minds. Philippians 8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, righteous, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. So, blah. There's so many places we could go with this message. It was very hard for me to go and rein it in and chokehold it into staying where I wanted to go, but I'm going to do that. What I want to communicate with you this morning is who knows, who kind of sees a little bit different now that you have this nuclear reactor in your head that can do whatever you want it to do and that there's a way to use it properly, right? There's a way for you to use it. It's a tool. It's something that you have. It's something that you can guide. It's something that you can protect. The Bible says you guard it. And it's funny because you're guarding this thing that all the issues of life come out of. Right? You have this amazing gift. Remember right back to the beginning, I'm going to give you this gift. Look at your mind this way. Okay? So you see what I'm doing here? You see that? You have this thing. Everybody here has this thing. And you can use it for whatever you want. And no one's going to make you do anything unless you give it to them, right? That happens. Brainwashing, cult stuff. When you see how amazing this thing is, you kind of want to know how to use it properly, right? We can't even get into that today of all the ways you can use your mind properly. I just want to paint this picture that you have a nuclear reactor that's amazing and precious, and it's immeasurable value that you have. And when you start seeing that, you actually start seeing the immeasurable value of other people's minds, of your children's minds, of your family's minds. And you have the ability with your mind to put things in their mind that are either going to bless them or destroy them. Because what you do with your mind to somebody else's mind can completely annihilate them. You can get the wheels turning in a certain way and wreck them, especially children, right? So we are not able in this amount of time to delve into the depths of knowledge the Bible gives us in regards to our minds. So I want to leave you with one thought, okay? This is it. I'll tell you when it's it. There's still a little more. If our hearts and minds are ours to guard, right? They're ours to love. They're ours to renew, biblically. They're ours to transform. That means that you are in a place of stewardship over your mind. Right? I know it's kind of like my mind's guarding my mind. Yeah, that's exactly it. It's weird. It's not you, it's what you have. And you're not a victim of it. And you are probably harder on yourself than anyone else is. Now I want you to see, imagine your mind is this little puppy with radioactive teeth or something. Like, it's a lot more dangerous than a puppy, but you've got this puppy, and it's sweet, and it's gentle, and it's amazing, and it was made for good. God made it for good, right? But this person didn't know what they were doing, and they were lied to about this puppy, and they were told that they could feed it garbage. And they were told that they could take this amazing little thing that is, it can bring such joy, but they can turn it into a nasty dog that will bite people and cause pain, draw blood. But it could have been used to help hunting and like providing for the family and playing with the kids and all these things. Sometimes that dog gets beat, right? We smack it around. How come you're not better? We beat this dog. This gift that we received. We're hard on it. It's our dog. How come you're not better? Why didn't you try harder? Man, if you really got this, you'd understand by now, you idiot. No one likes you. You're a failure. Just wait. They're going to reject you. Just wait. You get it. Right? We all have those thoughts. There's other people out there. There's other forces of darkness that know these principles and use them to drag you down, because they know if they can get you thinking a certain way, they'll just plow you right face first into the ground. Right? I've been so hard on myself in the past that I've actually had to apologize to my own mind for being so cruel to it. I'm crying. I didn't see its value. I didn't see its worth. And I abused it. And it's the most precious, most powerful thing. One of the most precious, powerful things that God can give you. And through lies and deception and darkness, we've all been trained to abuse ourselves in horrible ways. To abuse this gift. So here it is, okay? Here's the thought. Right on time. I want you to see and to treat your mind. Okay, I'm going to go slow. I want you to see and to treat your own mind as if it was someone you deeply cared about and wanted the best possible future for. Say it again. I want you to see and treat your own mind as if it was someone you deeply cared about and wanted the best possible future for. Because we're hard on ourselves, man. What would you feed that person? What would you tell and speak to that person? Would you be encouraging or would you be critical? Would you speak joyful, life-filled things or depressed, melancholic things to them? What kind of TV shows would you want them to watch that would be the best for their self-image, that would set them up for the best possible future that you could give them? What's the kind of music you'd want them to listen to? What are the kind of thoughts you'd want them to be thinking? You ever think that way about yourself? Your mind, your gift? You have this nuclear reactor, radioactive puppy that God's given you. And it's yours to steward, to guard, to take care of, to train, to renew, to transform. View it as somebody you deeply care about and who you want the best possible future for, because that's all you, man. And nobody else can do that for you. Right? Do you see how precious this thing is? We've got to be good to ourselves, man. We've got to love ourselves. That's why the Bible is so important, because it gives us promises and it gives us God's perspective on who we are, right? When Paul says, think about things that are lovely, think about things that are just, think about things that are pure. You know, did he, why did he have to say that? Right? It's kind of like, why would he have to say that? Because we've been trained not to do that. Because our minds are a gift. And what you put in, what kind of fuel you put in that engine is going to determine the output you get. If you cut your fuel in half with water and pour it in there, it's not going to go very far. But if you put premium, dude, you put that in that hot rod, vroom, it's going to go crazy, right? Like, you have this amazing gift in your mind, God, guys. And God wants to help you tune it and use it properly so that I can get the best possible future for you. Isn't that awesome? That's why we got to get into that thing and see what he thinks and see what he says and see what he's determining. Because you're a child of God, even if you were a child of rape. You were wanted, you were desired, you were sent here. You have a purpose, no matter who you are. Isn't that amazing? Feed your mind these things. Like, it really is life or death. It really is. What you say to your kids, what you say to other people's kids. Whoever thought it was the coolest thing when an older person paid attention to you? Like, who remembers being like, Like, my sister would bring her friends over, and sometimes they would talk to me, and it was like, I was like, whoa, this is cool, man. Like, me? Okay, I'll talk. Like, check out these little race cars I got. And they're like, whoa. I'm like, yeah. Right? And they're not my dad or my mom. They're just some older person. Like, that's an amazing mind. You'd be able to do that to somebody else's kid. Right? Other people, you know? It's amazing, guys. So do you see how precious this thing is? You see the amazing gift it is? It can be used against you. It can be used poorly. And it can be used for amazing greatness. So I just want you all, just as we close, to, again, I'll say that thing one more time. Right? Treat your mind as if it is someone you deeply care about and want the best possible future for. What would you do to that person? Do it to your mind. Jesus, thank you for today. Thank you for just the honor that you've given me from all these people. And the privilege it is to be up here and to be able to just speak and have people listen to me and consider what I say. God, thank you. And Lord, I just thank you for the gift of our minds today, Lord. Father, I'm sorry when I've abused my mind, Jesus. Thank you, God. Not, man, I even just apologize to myself, man. Mind, I'm sorry. Father, thank you for your revelation and your wisdom, because you know how we tick, God, and you desire the best things for us. You tell us to think about things that are pure and just and holy and righteous and good, because you know how our minds work and you want the best possible future for our minds. It's not some arbitrary law because there's bad things and there's good things. You want us to succeed, Father. And so when we do the things that you say and we see things from your perspective, our minds are being fed good food and we can run with that. Thank you, Jesus, for taking the time to save us and to train us and to love us. In Jesus' name, amen.